Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Our next guest is a self-described collector of bones. Gina Gibson is Associate Professor of Digital Communication at Black Hills State University. She has an upcoming Geek Speak lecture at Black Hills State. She joins us now to discuss art, hunting, and finding meaning in found objects. Gina Gibson, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. First, I want to say it's so great to have it be fall and to have the Geek Speak lectures back on. What fun topics throughout the year. We always look forward to those.
Thank you.
All right. Tell us about this one and where you sort of decided, you know, what you wanted to bring to the table for this ongoing series of lectures.
Sure. I currently have an exhibition up at the university of work that I've created over the last couple of years. And this is all really new for me. I wasn't collecting bones, and then they sort of found their way into my life. And as decor first, okay. I had a friend. We went on a hike. I saw his dog picked up a skull, and I said, well, I'm not touching that. And he laughed and said, well, it's fine to touch it. And I found it quite beautiful, and from an artistic perspective, thought it was just aesthetically or visually just very astounding. So I hung it on my wall. And that sort of began the normalization of bones in my house.
So from not wanting to touch it to finding that it was something you wanted to look at every day in your home, that's a big stretch in a short period of time. Did it just captivate
yes.
you?
As an artist, I find myself attracted to things. I don't always know that they're going to become part of my work. Often I collect things from thrift stores or just picking up rocks outside or thinking a leaf is interesting, taking a photograph, sketching something. So I am a collector by nature. Mm-hmm. And I think once I turned off the part of me that said this thing is dirty or unsafe and realized, no, this is just part of nature,
right?
That attraction was just hard to deny. So
let's talk about the collecting process first and sort of the ethos that you take on a hike as far as leave no things behind. What can you take out of that environment and use for art, and what really needs to be left behind?
Yes, I've been really careful, actually. Many of the bones that I've collected have been given to me. Mm-hmm. And then I started researching and hanging out with hunters and talking to them about their process. Some of the materials I have actually are from friends who hunted the creatures.
Right.
And that felt to me like a very, an okay way of approaching it, because then I'm not disturbing anything.
Right.
A few items found their way to me before I really started thinking about that process more. It's actually the making that made me think, wait a minute, hiking did not come naturally to me either for years. I moved to the Black Hills in 2008, and I'd never really hiked in my life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't start until probably 2012 or so. And so a lot of this, I was almost like a child. It was all new. And so I had to learn just like anybody would.
Wow. Let's talk about making turning them into art then. Does everything come back and get revisioned in a different way? What's the process like for you?
At first, I was making art objects with the intention of understanding they were art objects, just the bones. And I found that they weren't quite right. There was something missing. And just like they were in my home, interacting with, say, a rock or perhaps some kind of cabinet, or they were just interacting in the home in a way that I found more appealing.
Hmm.
And it took me some time while making to realize I just need to put everything that I'm interested in that speaks to me into the piece. And so I quit denying those sort of little hunches or those little feelings of maybe this will work. And then I started, again, I went back out intentionally into thrift stores and friends' homes that had things that were left over. And, you know, it's like, oh, some old rusty thing is sitting on your porch. Can I have that? So it changed the way I approached everything. It was like a new lens.
So what is that? How do you turn that into advice for other artists, in the sense that I'm captivated by what you said? You know, I quit denying the little hunches. Talk a little bit about listening to your artistic voice and learning how to hear and overcome the blockages that might get in the way of really doing what you know is true?
This is probably the first body of work, excuse me, that I feel like I've done that with. Hmm. And I've been a working artist for 20 years. I think it was just letting go of the things I couldn't control, and accepting that there were things that I was attracted to. And I have a tendency, I was both, kind of grossed out at times by the materials, and then other times just thinking, gosh, it's just gorgeous. So even the sense of I had to let go of some things just because they may not work. And it's hard to let go as an artist when you're in the middle of a piece, because you may be attached to something about the process, or it was difficult to make, so it's hard to let go of it. But sometimes I had to just say, you know, it doesn't matter that I've spent a month trying to work on this. This one didn't work.
Right.
So...
that's a big step for some artists, though, to sort of let go and follow your hunches. If it took you this long.
Yes, and I think I'm just starting.
Yeah.
So
tell me about the exhibit and what folks might see in it.
My hope is that people can bring their own narrative to the pieces. And I've had people come from ranching families tell me that it really resonated with them because it reminded them of home. Mm. I've had other people who are adventurers and hikers say, wow, where'd you find that? They were interested in the process. Some artists were interested in aesthetically, why'd you put red here? So that was a really fun experience listening to other people ask me questions. I tried not to lead with too much.
Right.
So...
Huh. Any particular object that, you could talk about that was a really great find for you, something that you just felt really lucky to be at the spot that you were to have noticed it and to have acted on picking it up and bringing it home?
Gosh, I felt that way almost
all
about every object. There, you know, I'll say this. I went on people's personal property, too, and things like that. And I would find really strange things, whether it was a broken rock, which I collected a lot of broken rocks. Mm. It was almost as if two halves of a hole kept finding me. And I was engaged with this is not broken. This is just different than what we know it once was. So we can see the two halves. I kept finding those everywhere. And sometimes I just photographed them. And other times if I was in a place where I felt I could pick it up, I picked it up and took it home and tried things. I kept having things spring out from these broken rocks. I kept wanting to make them have meaning, that the split was not detrimental, but a place for growth. So I became very interested in that. So I think the rocks were an important part too. Yeah.
You can meet Professor Gina Gibson at the upcoming Geek Speak Lecture. It's called I'm a Bone Collector, Now What Do I Do? The talk is today at 4 p.m. Mountain Time in Jonas Hall 110. And you can see the exhibit. It's called Remains. That's up until September 27th in the Black Hill State University Ruddell. Is it Ruddell or Ruddell Gallery?
Ruddell.
Ruddell. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.